views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I am Steve Kramer, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Carol Martin. She is the author of the book Breathe, and she is the creator of the Enlightened Living Seminar. And before we get on to Carol and this very, very exciting book, I want to talk a little bit about the step we're on this week on the practice of living awareness, which is illumined perception. And although I say I'm going to go into this concept of illumined perception, really this book is going to speak for itself. It's going to tell us so much about illumined perception. We are halfway through the practice of living awareness, and each week we have a different guest on the show who sort of embodies a specific tool of the practice. And as we get to illumined perception, we're really at a place where we can use a lot of the tools that the practice has taught us to simply allow life to unfold in front of us. There's one thing that could possibly get in the way of that, and that is resistance, and it's not understanding the breath. We use the breath all the time in the practice of living awareness, and Carol has written the most incredible book on breathing and breath, and a wonderful seminar that supports it. So, Carol, welcome.
Thank you.
It is so great to have you with us here today. I thought it would be really wonderful, actually, if we could just take a breath at the beginning of, before we start talking, at the beginning of the show. You know why? I am so excited. I have got more post-its throughout your book, and I've just been giddy. For the last week, as I have been rereading this book, I received it a couple years ago, thought it was amazing then, and as I revisited it, I just couldn't be more excited in the ways that it fits in with the practice, with this step, and just with, I guess, where I'm at in my life. And all week I've been sort of shouting across the room, Tim, listen to this, Tim, listen to this, and I will read a line or a sentence from the book. And so I think it would be good to just take a couple deep breaths because I'm pretty excited for this show. So, Carol, well, what do you say? You just sort of like, just, I'm usually the one guiding someone through a breath. Can you just talk to me and let's guide ourselves through a breath?
Okay. Yes, okay. It is about breathing. And so if everybody just for a moment stopped what they were doing and just took a gander at their breathing, so observed their breathing, you'll notice there's this nice inhale and then that exhale. And then you've just made space for the next inhale, so let the next inhale happen. And then it's about letting the exhale happen.
Wonderful.
And what we're actually doing as an observer is we're not controlling our breath. But that's another story. Like resistance, as you talked about earlier, is about our unconscious controlling of our breath so that we breathe shallow, because resistance is obvious to us when we're shallow breathing.
Well, and isn't it interesting, Carol, that in me getting very excited about this book, naturally, I perhaps it's even unnaturally, who knows, I notice that I'm not breathing. I'm actually, because I'm excited, I'm actually sort of doing myself a disservice by not allowing what is about to happen to unfold and create space for that. So you see, here you've taught me something already. Just in that moment of us taking a breath and creating space, I could sense this the beauty and sort of my excitement in a very different way of what's going to unfold in the next hour as we talk about your mm-hmm. book and your class, which right. is lovely. So right. thank you for that.
Oh, it's all there to be discovered in our lives with every breath and just creating more awareness. It's so exciting to me, too, even after, you know, creating the class 15 years ago or 16 years ago now. I'm still excited, too, Steve, because it's never old. You know, you're learning all the time when you learn to actually observe your breathing. It opens up everything to you so that whatever, that's why it's exciting, so that there's never, ever a lack of opportunity to actually grow in your life. Never.
One word I love about the breath is that it's dynamic, and that word seems to be something that's always sort of effervescing and efflorescing. You know, there's always something mm-hmm. going on that we have to discover within the breath. I'd love for the listeners. So, Carol, we just dove right in because, as I said, I'm so excited. I'm going to talk a little bit about you after I read, you know, just a little bit about your past and about all that you do, which is quite a bit. And we'll get into the meat and potatoes of this book. But I want to start just simply by reading a quote from deep in the book. I've got so many quotes here. I think I could spend the whole hour just reading quotes from the book and having you respond. But this is so lovely, and I think the listeners will really appreciate it. It says, "The allowing and full acceptance of your breath equals the allowing and full acceptance of your life. Becoming more conscious of your breath and learning to allow it to deepen naturally is a surrender to your life and your being. It is a powerful and loving act of acceptance that speaks to every cell in your body. It is the key to the door of your own evolution. Know where the door is, have the key to open it, then with practice you will walk through whenever you want to."
Oh, Steve, I can't believe I wrote that. That's lovely, isn't it?
It is so lovely. And
a lot of the book just came through me, Steve. I can't, you know, at a personal level, I don't think it's mine.
Well, I can attest to that. There is so much wisdom in this book. I've got it completely destroyed, marked up, underlined, posted everywhere. Not destroyed, but I've actually turned it into a handbook. So that's what's beautiful. I love so many things. I'm going to breathe, Steve, breathe. It's called Breathe, an Enlightened Living Handbook. So what I love about these words, and you can see there's so much power in these words, an enlightened living handbook. So many people think that we're on this path to enlightenment, and before we get to this path of enlightenment, we're just not enlightened. What I love is that you're talking about living with enlightenment, that you can live enlightenedly, is that a word? So it's called the Enlightened Living Handbook. So it's living in an enlightened way. And so I love that as well. It's a handbook. And so all my markings up and my post-its everywhere sort of prove that right away, that there is so much power behind so many of the words and so many sentences that I'm just going to read another one because I'm right here at it. You say right at the beginning, "Think of your mind as your greatest tool, and when misused, your greatest enemy." I mean, right there mm-hmm. should be a T-shirt.
Yeah.
So let's go back, though, Carol. Let's talk a little bit about what led you to write this book. You've been teaching the seminar now for 15 years, I think you said. And
yeah.
I know
yeah,
that you
I started in 2000.
The past, you were an athlete, a lot of breath work going on there. You moved on to become a massage therapist, craniosacral therapy, esoteric healing, which we talk quite a bit about. I know you incorporate the Alexander technique in all of this, which we'll mm-hmm. get into shortly. But so how did all this come about? I imagine this is all the fodder that led to the writing of the book, but I'd love to hear it in your words.
As a young person, I was very grounded physically. I grew up in the country and, you know, I was happy to be in my body. And I inherited some good genes for sports, and my mom put me into track and field, and I wanted to run and jump and throw, but I didn't have the speed or the height to do some of these things really well, but I really excelled at one that I shouldn't have because I was actually not that tall or that heavy, and I excelled at discus. And I pursued that, and because of the travel it gave me, and so my background was in sports in track and field for 14 years. 10 of those, I was able to travel the world as part of the Canadian team. And we were out of the country 4, 5, 6 times a year. That was my motivation. And I think it was so grounding, and it was such a safe place in a way to be. Going through your teenage years and most of my 20s, I was in that element, a subculture almost. And it also allowed me to become extremely focused and to bring out that that part of me, I guess, that is able to be focused. Because later on, when I became a healing facilitator and learned to meditate, I already had spent years trying to stay focused in the present in order to accomplish those goals, those physical goals as an athlete.
Carol, might I be able to jump in just because I'm curious? When I was young, was a swimmer. And It was all through high school, I was a pretty good swimmer. But what I realized as I became much more physical in my 20s was how little, when I was in school, they actually taught about breath. And really about, we've come a long way since I was in high school. I think we've become very sophisticated because sports is such really so important to so many cultures and so many schools. But I really was not taught a single thing about the breath. And as a swimmer, my goodness, it's all about breath. And I was just swimming at the gym the other day and really, as much as I was enjoying physically moving through the water, I was enjoying the regulation of my breath and what that was doing for me while I was swimming. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you were taught as an athlete, or something that you sort of understood, that connection between mind, body, and breath as an athlete?
I know I would have performed so much better, but my nerves and my feelings, I didn't get worked with in that way. So, no, I didn't discover the importance of breath until I was a therapist and wanted to help my clients more, to receive more during a treatment. So when they were on the table and they were breathing more deeply because they were relaxed and in present time, I could do almost 50% more for them. And this was astounding to me. It was like 18 years into my practice, and I realized I could help these people learn to breathe more deeply in their everyday life. And in doing so, they could receive 50% more while they were on my table. So at that point, it was just a very small idea about helping people to have a better treatment. It was later on that I realized what I was tapping into was something much bigger. Was the whole issue and the whole question of how do we get out of our own way so that enlightenment can happen more easily and so that we can suffer less. And all the lessons we have to learn are there for us if we want to be present to our lives. Our lives present us with every single opportunity we'd ever need to evolve. You know, but we don't know yet, most of us, that we're not breathing deeply. So we're not setting the stage for us to even begin to help ourselves, because we're not current with ourselves yet. I mean,
well,
so much of what...
You say the word allow throughout the book, and as we have talked to many healing practitioners on this show, you know, we always really do come back to the fact that the healing practitioner is not doing the healing. the client, the soul, the personality, the person that you're working with is actually doing the healing by allowing healing to be established as an established rhythm, as an established state within their body, and you are simply facilitating that happening. And certainly breath, you know, to notice that in your clients, that as soon as they were breathing, they were in a state of allowing, which is allowing this healing vibration to permeate oneself. You know, you say in the book, I'm going to pull another quote because I find it to be apropos for what you're saying, is all of us are aching to grow, evolve, and change. It is our birthright. The resistance that is there unconsciously for safety purposes needs to be addressed appropriately, consciously, and with skill power, not willpower, regularly, consistently, and with love and compassion. I love that, with skill power, not willpower. It's so true. We've got to learn these skills, though. We've definitely got to learn them.
Yep. We have to plan for our enlightenment. If we want it, if you want it, you must not try, but plan for it. Mm. And setting the stage for it to happen is what my book is about, and it's what the class is about, because we don't know that we're not doing that. And, you know, it's sort of like, I can do that. I can be that powerful in my own life. And don't we need that? And doesn't the world, isn't it time to, you know, call people to be their best selves, so to speak? The world needs that right now. So my current motivation for teaching this class is that I can't not, knowing what I know, I can't not teach this.
Mm.
It's so important that we empower people now to be their best selves.
And what I love about the book is it is quite empowering. There is so much within this book that basically states, this is you. You were built. You were created for this. It is only about creating the space, getting out of your way, and allowing this to happen. And then the fun begins. You know, as soon as we can get into the beauty and the dynamism of the breath, you know, that's when we really start to create our own future.
Yeah.
And so, Carol, creating, let's talk about that for a minute. So you've got the book and you've got the class. So could you tell us a little bit about how, you know, the difference between those two, how one came about? Did one come first? Did the handbook come first and then you created a class out of that? Or did the class just offer so much that you realized a handbook would go well? I'm curious, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, as I said, it was just, I want to help my clients receive treatments better. I thought, okay, there are three approaches needed here, and I created the class with a focus on three skills. That one was more emotional, one was more mental, and one was more physical. Innately, because I had I knew that those three bodies needed to be part of the project, I needed to kind of slant it, I thought, that way. And so I created this class. I thought, I can teach it in a couple of hours. So I did. But, of course, later I realized these are such life-changing skills that 2 hours may be enough to introduce them. And I've simplified them so they're learnable. But do they stick to people's ribs when they leave? No. We needed more time. This class should be a retreat. It should be an experience that people hang out with for a couple of days. So I lengthened the class to a full day and recently shortened it to 4 hours because everyone seems so busy. I wanted to accommodate people's needs. You gave me the idea about the retreat, Steve, and
absolutely.
It has not left my consciousness since you mentioned
it. We're broadcasting from a retreat center, and Tim and I were reading through just saying this book is form-fit for a retreat. I would love to read, Carol, if you don't mind. When you talk about the seminar in the handbook, you tell people what they can expect from this seminar. Do you mind if I just read some of these? Because they're so wonderful.
Oh, sure.
A deeper breathing and increased calm, less resistance, and therefore less pain.
Right.
Being in the present moment and therefore feeling less stressed, we all could use that.
Yep.
Improved communication with self and others. And boy, does breath, really understanding the breath, facilitate that. And I look forward to talk to you about breath within conversation.
Good.
You know, I want to know more about that. So we're going to get back to that. Again, from the seminar, more coordination with thinking, acting, and feeling. Again, there it is, the mind, the physical, and the emotions. Living
right.
from the heart center, living with more love, increased connectedness. So, I mean, it goes on. Increased joy, better health, less physical pain, all of this from the breath. And, you know, I would love to see this as a full retreat, but I'm sure 4 hours of really being present with you, understanding the basics, then having this handbook to go with it and read, reread, mark up, memorize some really wonderful mm-hmm. lines in there as affirmations mm-hmm. is really just, you know, I just say hats off. You know, such wonderful work, and what a service for people. So the class itself, let's just, can we talk a little bit about the various parts of the class?
Of course. Anything. Do you want to talk about how it frees, how it assists in clearer communication? That's the emotional skill. That's one of the outcomes of the emotional skill.
Okay, yeah. I mean, emotions, certainly we all have them sometimes ruling our lives and not...
yep.
Yeah. Not assisting us. Sometimes I love... Tim and I always sort of... We're listening to Esther Hicks all the time, who's talking about the emotional body as basically telling us what we want and what we don't want. That's it. Our emotions are our guidance system, and when, you know, when we're not using them for guidance of I want this or I don't want this, we can really get in trouble.
That's right. There's a whole lot of unconscious fear in us and grief, usually. Those are the two biggies that people they keep their breathing shallow because those emotions, when you start breathing more deeply, whatever's been buried, when you breathe more deeply, you say yes to your life, and your life includes those three bodies, and they begin to make their presence felt. So what we talk about, what I talk about with people when we talk about the breath and the skills, in particular the emotional skill, is to befriend your feelings, because they are like children, is my analogy. Children, when they're upset, need to be comforted. You need to basically accept them in their distress, and you need to make space for them so they feel loved, and you don't sort of placate them and hope they'll stop feeling whatever they're feeling. That's my take on it. And I feel that our feelings are like children. They're aspects of ourselves that are very precious, because without them, we don't bring all of ourselves to the table. And our evolution depends on that. And so even though it's hard, because grief, which is usually covered by anger, and fear are so hard for us to live with and to deal with and to encompass, that there is a need to begin to see your feelings in a different light and to develop this compassion and acceptance for them, and to understand that they're not to be afraid of, and that in fact, even though it seems as if, I mean, the fear most people have, I believe, is that once you're into a difficult feeling, it's as if it's so powerful, you see. It's as if it might never end, and life is not worth living when that is the illusion. Our mind thinks, which is an illusion, that life is not worth living when this is the way it is and it doesn't look like it will end. But the truth is, it's the only way to go through the energy that is yours, that might be difficult at this moment, but that if you stay with it, like if you stay with an upset child, that child will go through their upset and then run off and play because their needs were met. They were accepted. They were loved unconditionally through the upset. And at the end of the day, it's how we transform the energy of our feelings. And this is so necessary right now. And the emotional skill is a skill that actually brings to the forefront by breathing with more awareness when you're speaking. It brings to the forefront the emotional content of your thoughts. And it opens the door, therefore, for you to become current with what you're feeling on a regular basis. So instead of at the end of the day, you have a big ballooning emotional body that you weren't conscious of what you were feeling because you bypassed it. You bypassed it by shallow breathing and not acknowledging any of your feelings during the day. It's quite common, quite easy to do. We all
and
do
isn't
it.
Isn't it interesting, Carol, that we're actually recreating that tension? You know, we're actually perpetuating it. We think we're avoiding it, but actually we're creating that as a default, and it will always be with us until we give it space to sort of know
exactly
what's
the truth
going on inside of that. So listen, Carol, we're at break time. We are talking with Carol Martin about her amazing book, Breathe. When we get back, I want to hear more about breathing in conversation. We'll be right back after this break.
About you, think about love. Darling, I don't live without you.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
day he left the shack. But that was all he missed. He ain't come.
Back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are joined today by Carol Martin, who is the author of the book Breathe, an Enlightened Living Handbook. She also teaches the Enlightened Living Seminar, and we have simply been having so much fun talking about the importance of breath and what it can do for us to actually learn how to breathe. We do it all the time. We can't not breathe, but yet it's amazing how often we don't realize that we are breathing shallowly, that we are not taking a full breath. Within the practice of living in awareness, we've got an entire step, a week-long process to teach you to soften and open your rib cage, receive the breath, soften, open, release the breath. And Carol does this, has been doing this for quite some time. So welcome back, Carol.
Hi.
Oh, before we get back into the book, I want to tell the readers how they can find a little bit more about you. So Carol's wonderful, really beautiful website, if I must say so myself, is called enlightenedliving.me, enlightenedliving.me. And on that website, you can find the book. You can find when she's going to be teaching classes. There are some video clips on there. Carol's book is digital, so you can find it on Amazon, and the links are on her website. And she just recently did an audio version, yeah, Carol?
Yay. Yes, it only took me 2 years, but I did it.
Well, listen, I would love, we were talking before we went to the break about communication and breathing and communication, mm-hmm. and when we were talking before the show, you were saying that, you know, how reading this book and being present and actually embodying the words, that you had to learn how to speak and how to breathe. Not that, you know, I find we teach what we need to learn the most, right? Not that you needed to learn to breathe, but my goodness, if you're going to, you know, embark on reading your own book, mm-hmm. you've really got to embody it, and breath was an integral part of that, you were saying, yes?
Yes, yes. Well, because we talked before the break about emotions, I didn't know. Well, I did know, but I had a certain fear about standing up and saying my truth in public. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe centuries of bad results because of standing up and saying your truth in public. I had a certain fear, and it was expressed through my throat chakra, and it was expressed in it being my weakest chakra, actually. And so when it came to reading the book, I had to learn to free that up and really own it. It was about owning it and moving beyond my personal fear of what might happen to me if I stand up and say the truth. You know, it's very deep in me. So this has been a personal journey that, you know, I'm on, as you said earlier, because we teach what we most need to learn. I don't teach a book on enlightenment because I'm enlightened. I teach it because it is what matters to me.
Well, I just want to say that as you were talking about the throat chakra, and for those who are listening who might know quite a bit or might mm-hmm. not know about the chakras, you know, it balances with our sacral center, which is the center for creativity. So I just mm-hmm. wanted to give you a little, you know, pat on the back for that. You have created so much. So for someone who is trying to sort of work through the throat center, which is about communication, about creative thought, my goodness, when to look at all that you've created with this book, with the class, with your website, and all you're offering to people, I would say you've got those two centers, you know, going pretty good. They seem pretty balanced to me, Carol.
Well, maybe I've actually changed.
Oh, wonderful.
That's
been
what
a lovely
all about,
process,
isn't it?
Huh?
You know, embracing change and moving beyond your different fears, really.
For sure.
Yeah.
So
that's what it's
breathing
about.
In conversation. I'm just curious if you could tell me a little bit about what you mean by that. Do you mean literally the way the mechanics of the breath work? Like as I'm speaking now, I can sense that I'm exhaling a bit. and allowing yourself time to inhale fully and not sort of speaking on the front of your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean by that?
I do mean it literally, and mm-hmm. I know that it's really difficult for quite a few people to change how they speak in terms of including breath with their speaking. If you think no one will listen for very long, if you speak to people whose attention spans are short, you're going to probably try to speak quickly so that you can say what you want to say before you lose those people. Or if you have a really, really busy mind that and you know a lot and you want to share a lot, you're going to probably want to speak quickly to get it all out. There's lots of reasons that we speak without breathing and we speak quickly. What happens when you make time for your breath when you speak is that you include all of yourself in, because your breath is your life. And if you're just speaking from your head and you're leaving out the other three bodies that make up your personality, then it is a fractured presence. And what happens to your listener is that when you include all of yourself in the delivery of something, they will feel more included, because inclusivity is like that. It's just you're including all of yourself. Your listener will know that you're going to include them. And that changes a conversation. So instead of it being a one-way street where you're speaking, someone's listening, it's almost like you've really depersonalized the whole thing. And there is not that inclusivity that comes from the heart chakra, that comes from group awareness, and it opens to the higher mind. It opens to unconditional love. It's a completely different energy. You know,
I can totally sense that, as I know that I do have one of those rapid spitfire minds, and I do have a tendency to talk quickly, because it's just that I want to put the thought in form before it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fear-based. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I can sense it just by saying it out loud. Of course it's going to be there.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate that, as I can sense that by being more present, by taking a deeper breath, that I am not only connecting to my mental space and to the thoughts, but to what is necessary and what may not be necessary to be said. So again,
yes,
that's interconnection
and clarification.
I appreciate all that.
It's a clarification, and because there's an emotional component to every thought that you miss if you don't include your emotional body. And so it turns out that this skill, and I only chose it, of course, because I needed something to tack breath awareness on too. And we're always speaking either out loud or in our heads silently. So even if it's difficult, the more you do it, the more you've actually acknowledged your feelings during the day, and at the end of the day, the less you've buried and held and are still holding unconsciously in your emotional body.
Mm.
It's a really good skill.
Yes. Well, I know,
and
that
you know,
you
it was an intuitive
Alexander...
thing on my part.
Oh, I'm sorry?
It was an intuitive thing originally on my part, and now there's all this science-based research done on including breath with speech that is showing the remarkable de-stressing results in the physical body that occur with that. So I'm being backed up by current research, which is great.
And another thing I love about this book is that although at times it is very spiritual, it talks about our spiritual self, but yet at the same time, there's quite a bit in there about the vagus nerve, about our parasympathetic nervous system. You've really got it all covered here, Carol. It's lovely. You know, there's definitely a lot of science coming out about mindfulness, breathing techniques, the relationship of our parasympathetic nervous system, how important that is. And it's all here in this book in very practical ways in which we can engage that, you know, that sort of receptive side of ourselves that as you said, in our modern day, we are really hardwired for speed and for just information and sensation overload. But I want to move on to the Alexander technique, because I know you use that quite a bit, and I don't know a whole lot about it, and I'm really interested. But here's my sort of take on it, and it's related to the emotional body, I would imagine, is that as we don't acknowledge and create space for our emotions, let them out, let them sort of tell us what they need to tell us, we hold them in certain points in our body, and then our movement is restricted. And I believe with the Alexander technique and breath, it sort of allows us to see where are we holding tension, and that tension could be physical, could be mental, could be emotional, and it's a way of freeing ourselves up. Is that so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the breath, when you begin to exhale more freely, you're beginning to let go of tension, for sure, at the physical level and the emotional and mental level, too. Because those three bodies are innately working together, whether we like it or not, we're made that way. So they're in constant rapport, constant communication. When we work physically, we're also working mentally and emotionally without directly addressing the emotions or the mind. Because of the interrelationship, like I just said, about with those bodies. So the Alexander technique is a very powerful technique physically to free up and the body to function better. I mean, he cured himself of an illness that he was supposed to die from with this movement back in the 1800s, and this technique has really lasted and
I didn't realize that.
It is taught as a health technique now, not just for singers and dancers and people on stage. It's used as a health technique.
Wow.
Yeah, and because when you stand in balance and you resist gravity and you lift your sternum with your abdominal muscles, bringing the sternum closer to the chin, and you let your sacrum drop so that it's under your shoulders and supporting your body, you feel supported. Emotionally, you don't feel downhearted because your sternum is lifted. You're uplifted. Your uplifted posture speaks to your emotional body and says, oh, we're over here now. We're on this page. Come on, because that's what's happening. And your emotional patterns, the old habits and patterns that are old and you're trying so hard to move beyond, but, you know, patterns and habits are difficult to let go of. Your personality wants to hang on everything, keep everything the same, status quo, please. And so change becomes difficult. So what I wanted to do is bypass our unconscious resistance to change by introducing skills that really work subtly. You know, this is subtle. We're standing in such a way that frees up your lungs so you breathe deeper automatically. So it's not about forcing anything. It's setting the stage and bypassing your resistance. Because what happens with changes, you have to maintain the new thing. And it's that maintenance where people fall down because it requires ongoing awareness.
Yeah.
And that's why the observer, there's a whole chapter on the observer in my book. That's why it's so important for me to help people understand who is the observer? What is it? How do you get there? And why is it so important? You know, and it's because it's with that ability in your day-to-day life to begin to observe, you move out of judgment, and you begin to accept what is in your life. That is freeing. That, because love is where it's at, right? This unconditional love is what's needed for you to grow. It's what's going to heal your emotional body. So it's needed. And if we stand in such a way that automatically, the Alexander technique does this, automatically frees up your lungs to breathe more deeply. Hallelujah! You know,
yeah.
You've just done a huge thing. You could just do one of these three skills, and you're already on the path. You're supporting yourself so much; it's unbelievable. That's my feeling, anyway.
Hallelujah!
You can't do it all at once. You can't do all three skills and be good at them overnight. This is a lifetime of practice,
yeah.
Right?
This really is
an introduction to life-changing skills. It's not going to happen quickly. But that's a good thing. You've got the rest of your life to do it. just have to start.
Yeah, we
I was ranting. I was ranting, Steve. I get excited about it, you know. I really get excited about this stuff.
Well, I want to read another quote from the book that is right along with what you're saying, that unforced changes undertaken by us at the physical, emotional, or mental levels happen more slowly and require regular attention to be obtained. So it's practice. Mm-hmm. And you say, Dwa Kul, a well-known Tibetan Lama once said, and I love this quote, cultivate the realization that eternity is long and that which is slowly built up endures forever.
Forever. Exactly. We're talking about
and that
change.
Means forever and ever. And
that's
we're
right.
really he in a process of about. Just refining this, you know, we're just refining this.
Mm-hmm.
We're refining consciousness. I mean, if we want to go that big, you know, we are awareness. You know, we are, if we come back to this step of the practice, which is illumined perception, we are these vehicles. We are the vehicles to allow for the growth, expansion, of consciousness, to bring light to matter. Carol, I'm going to read another quote because I love all these quotes. I want our listeners to hear just so much juicy stuff here. And then I really want to get to the observer because we only have so much time left and we really want to talk about a bit about meditation. And I want to hear your take because I know you've got words of wisdom. But I want to read this because I love it so much. It says, when I surrender to my breath in meditation, connecting to earth, heart, soul, and source, I become the spiritual scaffolding that creates the spaciousness I need for peace, harmony, and growth. That is beautiful. I become the spiritual scaffolding that creates the spaciousness I need for peace, harmony, and growth. So you become spiritual scaffolding, your being, which includes your mind, which includes your emotions, which includes this physical body that is a vehicle for this source, for this soul to come through. And I love that it really comes down to breath. And you say in this first sentence, when I surrender my breath in meditation to connecting to these various earth, heart, soul, source. So I want to talk about that a minute. Surrendering to breath in meditation, you talk about the observer. There is something amazing that happens when we observe our breath in meditation, where we immediately, not only are we observing our breath, we can unfold and sort of really discover all of these intricacies and the ways that breath is related to, as you say, our body, mind, emotions. But at the same time, this really trippy thing happens for me that I sense a connection to all things, and I become an observer not only of myself but of all that is. And you find yourself on this precipice of all that is unfolding. You are on the forefront. You know, you are right there with the energy that is creation itself. And so that is the ultimate in creating your life, in creating a book, in creating a class, in creating your day. There's something about that. So I'm wondering, I just would love to hear a few words from you because I don't actually know what that is. You know, you have a whole chapter in the book on the observer. You quite eloquent and much wisdom in that chapter. But I'd love to hear from you, this the observer.
Well, I thought you just did a marvelous job myself of explaining what the experience is like when you're there. I like what you just said. Thank you. That was great, Steve. I'm not sure what I can add.
Well, beautiful. Okay. But, you know, really, once we become the observer, we have got the opportunity to... help me out. We've got the opportunity what's that?
Go ahead. I'll jump
fishing.
In when you give me a spot.
Well, you know, meditation really is about observing one's mind. So at the end of the day, when we're able to observe our breath, we then are able to observe, you know, everything. I mean, we're really able to observe all the components that make us who we are, every single aspect of that. You talk about in that chapter, actually this is in the chapter called Stress and Affirmations. You have an affirmation that says, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a personality. So I love that as an observation. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a personality. To understand that we really are the living, breathing representation of spirit, of consciousness itself.
Yeah, when I talk to people who don't have a lot of background in spiritual studies, I like to talk about meditation and getting to the observer in a way that is just simple. And like who we think we are is often the personality, because it's like the outer garment we present to the world. And who we really are is the soul. And that timeless, it's a timeless bridge to spirit. It's not the highest spiritual aspect of us, but it is the aspect that we are learning to evolve towards. And by going to the observer, you're spending time in the soul's realm because of its location. It's a real estate issue. The observer is located above the diaphragm, so it's under the auspices of the soul. And the centers below the diaphragm are under the auspices of the personality. And this is about learning to be in that place that is a higher vibration. And this pulls and helps the healing of the vibration of the centers below the diaphragm, your whole personality virtually. And so if you only did that, you would be helping yourself, all the people you know, your community. In fact, it would be your gift to the world to become all you can be, because you'd be helping your own integration, and you'd be opening to the greater truth of who we really are. But you have to go there to find out. And you have to go there without an agenda. And that's hard for people.
And you go there
to achieve, have a goal, you know. But you have to go there completely open, you know. So I think it is a skill that I am so privileged to know how to teach, because of esoteric healing training and so on, and teaching esoteric healing over the years. I thought, this important stuff needs to be available to everyone. And so,
well, Carol, that
I'm so
is
glad
a wonderful
to be teaching
way.
This class for that reason alone. Hello?
It's a wonderful way to wrap the show, because I can't believe an hour has gone by already.
Neither can I.
I think I have to have you on the show again, because I want to go through... I want to go through this book and really talk about very specifics, but in wrapping up the show, I really want to take the time to let our listeners know how they can get a hold of this wonderful handbook. It's called Breathe and Enlightened Living Handbook, and Carol's website is enlightenedliving.me. And listeners, please, by all means, go to her website, read the book. It's available digital, it's available audio, it's available in print. I just love it. Carol, I've had so much fun. Thank you for joining me.
Steve, it was my pleasure.
Well, Carol, would you come back and join us again another time, and we could talk a bit more about this great book?
I would love to.
Absolutely love to.
All right. That's what I'm living for.
Lovely. Thank you so much for this service. Carol, really, really wonderful, amazing stuff. We'll be back next week on Spirit Fire Radio. It's been great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.